Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, if you look around the room, you kind of see that we're a little light. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people out sick today. We also have families being with families, and they're having certain celebrations. So we'll pray for them as well as take care of today. So Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just ask for your presence to be here so strong and mighty. And already we feel your presence because of the music ministry. And we thank you for that, Lord, because He hovers over each and every person here. His presence is here. And so this is the time that we can worship you with all our hearts, Lord. And we also ask that for those that are absent, Lord, that you go to them right now, that your presence be felt in each and every home. Just light up the area with your presence and bring your healing touch for those that are sick, for those who couldn't be here, Lord, and are with their families. We're asking that you be in the center of all of their activities, and that you, those that do not know you, through the ones that are home and are believers, that they just feel your presence in such a mighty way, and that hope fills them, and that they're able to be thankful for this time. This is such a beautiful time, Lord. And so I'm asking for your healing touch over everyone here, but also, Lord, just for you to be with each and every one of us to meet the needs of those that need your presence, as well as just be together and love one another. And as you go forward in the week, whatever you hear today in the Word, to be able to do those actions that need to be done, that, Lord, you touch our hearts to just be the salt and the light to those who need your presence. And, Lord, give us boldness that we can pray and we can speak about who you are and the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you surrendering all this morning? Like, this week, I know Thanksgiving's coming up and stuff. I feel like everything's hectic, right? It's all like, prepare, get ready. We gotta get this stuff done, right? But I know even this week, there were some things I felt God really telling me, like, hey, you could do less time of that. You know what I mean? And he actually, like, I felt like this challenge of, like, let's, a fast that's not, because that's the thing, is fast doesn't always have to be food, right? Like, it's a surrender, it really is, of, it can be things that are high priority in your life, things that you feel like, I can't lose control of that, I can't let go of that, right? And I just love this song and how it talks about my one life's endeavor to match your surrender, to mirror not my will but yours. And I love it because when you think about what it's talking about, to match your surrender, you know, Jesus had all the power when he was going through that whole process for his leading to his crucifixion, right? He had every ability to say, yeah, I'm not doing this. Like, he had every ability to call angels on his behalf. He had every ability, but he surrendered all because he knew what he was doing, right? For us. He knew he was defeating death. He knew he was washing things away. He knew he was making it new for us. See, sometimes we have to learn to let some things die, right? We gotta learn sometimes, like, I gotta let go of these things. Whew, I don't know who this is for, but you can be holding on to something as small as to control in your finances, control in what is happening in your job, control in there's so many different things. I don't know. I feel like finances is the big one right now for some reason. That's what's hitting. But see, surrender is full surrender, right? When you say I surrender it, I let it go. I've given it and it's not in my hands anymore, right? But see, there's a lot of times where when we want to surrender, we say, okay, I'm surrendering this, but then we hold on to a piece of it. Like, here, God, you can take it. I'm giving, making the act of giving it to you, but I'm not fully going to let it go because I'm not ready. Can I tell you that surrendering some of these things will change your life? It'll change the way your finances flow. It'll change the way your... There is something that happens when we learn to trust God, not just a little bit, but 100%. See, that's the thing, is sometimes we become focused on the outcomes of things, right? We become focused on what happens if I let this go and something bad happens. But see, God made us a promise, because his words are promises. They're things you can stand on, things you can 100% know that this is a firm foundation for me. And when he said, I work all things together for good, he meant it. So even if the outcome is what you're scared of, he's working it for your good. He's doing something. But see, it takes faith in stepping in and saying, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to surrender it. And though I can't see what's going to come next, I'm trusting that what you promised me is what's going to come to pass. Woo! I can really feel it. See, God made you more than a conqueror. He's not setting you up to put you low. He's setting you up to build you up, to make you more, to give you more, and to place more within you. See, he wants to not just fill your cup. He wants to overflow it so much more than you could ever imagine or think. See, when we're talking about blessing, he's not talking about, here, let me give you this thing. He's talking about, I'm going to give you it all. I just want to pour in, and I'm going to continue to pour in, and I'm going to continue to overflow. But we got to stop being what gets in the way of that flow. We got to stop saying, I can't let go of this there, because what happens if it's not what I want? No, see, surrendering and mirroring, right? Not my will, but yours, is saying, I'm letting it go. I'm giving you control. Even when I don't want to give you control, I'm giving it to you. See, that surrender in itself, it really is a form of worship, communion with God, right? A gift. And those things don't go unnoticed for him, because he loves you so much more than you could ever even imagine.
Oh, man. Praise God. I could surrender all day. Can you say amen? How many sense the presence of God in the house? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him a hand. Let's give God a clap offering like he deserves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. How many of you surrender all? Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you woke up to rain this morning? Anybody get rain at their house this morning? Ooh, man. Yeah, we got like 10 seconds of rain. We got, man, it started raining. Rosie and I looked at it. It's raining. And then it stopped. I go, come on, man. All the way here, it looked like it rained on the highway, rained on, but my house was pretty dry. Yeah, and hallelujah. So I'm hoping that by the time I get back, I got some rain. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you know that rain is kind of a symbol of the blessing of God? Can you, do you know that? That God can, if you had crops today, how many are growing crops? The only one I know is Deborah. Where's Deborah at? She's not here. I guess she must be in the back. But I know Deborah grows
Jalapenos. How many like jalapenos? She grows chilies, yeah, all kind of different chilies, man. But if there's something about rain that when you've got like a crop growing, it really makes it better. Can you say amen to that? Amen. There's something about the blessing of rain. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why I was expecting a little more rain this morning. Can you say amen? I said, come on, Lord. Anybody said, Lord, come on, give me some rain. Anybody ever said that? Man, I do. I say that quite a bit sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How many of you ever had somebody ask you, is there life after death? You ever heard that? Is there life after death? What do you generally say?
Yes.
Yep. 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 There sure is. There sure is. And we're going to talk about life after death today. Can you say amen? Yeah, how many know it's good to know about what happens after death? Hallelujah. Some of you thinking about a big cushy bed in a mansion that Jesus has been building for you. Your favorite color on the walls, huh? Your favorite color on the carpet, amen? Hallelujah. But we're going to talk a little bit different today. Can you, if you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you will, let's turn to your Bible to, it's going to be John chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 17. Kind of an odd place to start. But while you're turning your Bibles, how many of you got your Bibles with you? Amen?
Amen.
Woo, yeah. See, how many of you got your Bible on your phone? Yeah, okay, yeah. That's an excuse for not carrying your Bible. Hallelujah. I still carry my Bible. I will tell you, I love my Bible. Can you say amen? Anybody say? I love my Bible. I really do. Because it's got God's word in it.
Amen.
Tells me about Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love my Bible. Pray with me just for a minute. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we honor you. Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, God. And God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And God, we thank you what you're taking us to, Father. We thank you for what we might not even know, God. We thank you for it even now today because we know who you are. You're the great I am. You're the creator. You're the one that has created us for your purpose and for your kingdom and for your glory. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for 10 seconds of rain. Amen. Hallelujah. It's better than nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to start John chapter 12, starting at verse 17. Coming into this verse, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. We're coming up on some of the last few weeks of Jesus' life, if you will. And he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus was now with him. And now they had gone into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus went in riding on a donkey. You guys remember that? They called it the triumphal entry. And people were there not only to see Jesus, but they were also there to see the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got to look at this guy. He was dead quite a few days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. I don't believe it till I see it. Well, that's him right there. He's right there walking. He's right there waving his hands, clapping his hands, and worshiping God. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, if you were dead and God, Jesus, raised you from the dead, would you get a little happy?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Depends on what heaven looked like. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I said, well, what'd you do, God? What are you doing? Come on. But I will tell you that this is where we're coming into. This is where the people are kind of surrounding Jesus. And starting at verse 17, the people therefore that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, they bear record, they testified. For this cause the people also met him For they that heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye not how you prevail nothing? See, they're trying to stop Jesus in all of his stuff, trying to trap him, trying to capture him with his words. But how many know, how are you going to capture God in his words? Can you say amen to that? Best thing you can do with God is just say, all right, hey. And the Pharisees are upset. They say, can't you see how we're not even prevailing? We have prevailed nothing. Is that what it says? And it says this, behold, the world has gone after him. And I can't wait to see that happen. How many say amen? I want to see the world go after God. I desire that. I desire to see the glory of God cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, like he says. God told Moses that, truly as I live, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, is what he told Moses. And I can't wait. And folks, I believe we're nearer than we ever began to think about. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I believe we're there. We're moving into that. But God is looking for a generation that's going to rise up, and begin to speak the things of God into the earth like God wants them to. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We have to surrender all, like the song said this morning. I surrender all. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Amen. Woo, hallelujah. And there was certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now we're talking about people that are not Jewish. They're Greeks. They're Gentiles is what the Jews would say. What are you doing here, bro? Yeah, I'm come to worship. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we want to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. I'll say the same thing. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the pure in heart will see God. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's important. It's a good word. Is that right?
Yeah.
How many of you know it's important to God that we be pure in heart? One amen. Did anybody else say amen?
Amen?
Come on, man. Amen. Pure in heart. Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And look at Jesus, what he says. He says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Is that right? It has to die. See, if anybody asks you about death after life or life after death, death has to happen before life. Can you say amen to that? Oh, we're going to get into this a little bit because it's important that you understand that this is what's going on in your life. Death, so that life can spring forth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It says, he that loves his life shall what?
Lose it.
And he that hates his life in this world shall what? Keep it until life eternal. How many know that life eternal is a long time?
Yeah.
Ain't no short little trip to New Mexico. It's a long time. Can you say amen to that? Isn't that right, Nick? Long time, bro. Eternal. I don't think we even understand what eternal means. Because we look at it within 100 years, we say, yeah, eternal, okay. But I'll tell you, eternal is a long time. God, since he created the heavens and the earth, he's been in eternity, even up till now. And I'll tell you what, it's been a long time. Can you say amen to that? And he was before that. Ay, ay, ay. Hallelujah. I don't know. Hey, if I jump off, man, just say, hey, raise your hand. Say, Henry, you're getting out of control. All right? Because I get a little excited sometimes. Okay. All right. All right. Verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Everybody say, follow him.
Follow him.
Follow him. How many say it again? Follow him.
Follow him.
Say, I'm not your savior. Is that right? I ain't nothing but a man of God that loves God, and I desire to see God do a thing in this earth. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Hallelujah. So you say, Pastor, what do you think about? Don't ask me what I think. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Who cares what I think? Ask God. Amen. Ask him what he thinks. Amen. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I am not allowed an opinion. Can you say amen? I am not allowed an opinion. If you come and ask me, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? If I do this, does it look bad or whatever? And I'm not allowed an opinion. All I can tell you is the truth. God's word says, amen? Yeah. Don't try to force an opinion out of me. Can you say? I had a young lady in my youth group. Her dad's not here. He's he works back there in the sound booth. He's not here, so I'm going to tell you about her, right? Is that okay? She was in my youth group, and she had a pretty short dress on. And she asked me, is my dress too short? How many of you know she's looking for an excuse? Can you say amen? So I said, well, what does your dad say about it? Oh. She didn't want to hear about it. I said, I'd listen to your dad, because I would tell you he loves you more than anybody. You need to hear him first. Can you say amen to that? Everybody say first. First. Yeah, come on, man. I'm not allowed an opinion. If you're going to ask me something, expect that I might give you the word of God. And you might not like it. Is that okay? Come on, man. Sometimes we don't want to hear what God has to say. But I will tell you, we need to be hearing what God has to say. Don't ask me. Ask him. Sincerely ask him. Because like he said, like the word of God said, or like what the song we were singing, I surrender all. Can you say, man, I got to surrender everything to you, Lord. Sorry. Come on, Aaron. If any man serve, I'm going to start at verse 26 again, okay, Les? If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. Well, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause, I came unto this hour. Came I unto the Son. Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered, and the other said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but because of your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Oh. Woo! Now is the judgment of this world. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Everybody say that with me. The prince of this world shall be cast out. Say it again. Prince of this world. You will be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what kind of death he should die. Death by the cross. Can I say, can I tell you just something that we really need to get a hold of? The prince of this world is not the devil. Not the devil. How many are tired of excuses? Does anybody ever get tired of excuses? Yeah. Man, I'm so tired of excuses. Got an excuse for everything. Is that right? Yeah. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't care. Whatever it is. How many ever heard that song, Excuses, Excuses? You hear them every day. You ever heard that song? Boy, everywhere you go, you're going to hear an excuse about something. All right? That's true. And I'm tired of excuses. And you can't use the devil for what you're doing wrong. You can't say, well, that's the devil. No, you know what it is? Look at, I want you to hear this. It is the prince of this world that lives within you. It's your old man, your old self. Can you say amen to that? Woo, you might not have liked that, but I'm going to tell you what. That's the guy that God says, I'm going to cast him out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That prince, it's not the devil. It's your inner man. It's the old man. Can you say amen? All right. I'm going to take you to another scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25 says this. How many of you like Bible studies? Well, you're in one.
Woo!
Sorry, maybe you don't want one, but you're in it. Come on, man. Because the word of God, man, when you come to this house, you're going to hear God's word. Amen? I'm not going to talk to you about what's that? Pickleball. How's that? I'm not going to say, pickleball. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to talk to you about the word of God. I'm going to talk to you about what God gives me. I'm going to talk to you what God has poured into my heart so that you might hear. That's what I want out of this pulpit this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So whether you like it or not, you're in a Bible study. Is that okay? Because the Bible says, here a little, there a little. How shall a man cleanse his way? By the word of God, here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Is that right? Is that okay with you? Because what's crazy about it, you can't read this book just straight through and think you've read it. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of just bringing it to you piece by piece, getting two pieces that are in two different books and slamming them together, and you go, oh my God, I've never seen that before. How many have seen that before? That is how God does things. He says, because I ought to tell you, because he hides things. Is that okay? For a simple fact that if you're hungry enough, you'll go look for it. You got to be hungry for God. I will tell you, I believe that God is tired of his people living on things that they've heard in the past, and he wants to give you fresh bread in the morning, every morning. He wants to give you something fresh, but you know what's wrong with us? A lot of us don't even show up to the table. A lot of us is... My wife was talking to somebody and asked, well, do you do this? Do you read the word? Do you pray? She goes, oh, I pray on the run. Well, I don't read the word. You don't read the word? No. Why? I'm too busy. How many of you know what too busy means?
Yeah.
What's too busy mean?
Awesome.
You know what too busy means? I'm going to tell you what too busy means. The prince is still alive. Can I say that to you? That prince is still alive. You need to get unbusy. Busby. That's where I'm from, by the way. You need to get unbusy and go to the Lord and say, God, what do you got for me today? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake. So Jesus talking, well, what?
Find
we'll
it.
Save it. You were going to save it. You're going to find it.
Yes.
Yeah. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 25. Write these down if you're taking notes. And he says this, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Look at that day. Look at that next word. What does it say? Take up his cross when?
Daily.
And follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Is that okay? Follow him. Take up what? Your cross. Take up your cross. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. I'm going to read this to you. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I'm going to let you find it. Mm. Statute of Lamentations. We okay? Matthew chapter 6, 25-34. Here we go. Thank you, Les. Jesus was talking and he says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life, listen to this, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Amen? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I know you ladies put on them heels. Now you're a little taller and a little higher. But your real height, can you add to it? No, you can't. Okay, here we go. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about sometimes end time things are happening. And I remember do you guys remember Y2K? Yeah, when the computer systems were going to go out and everybody was going to die. Crazy. I mean, it was crazy. But my wife and I had gone to California, and a brother was over there, and Cesar, who was here last Sunday, we went to his house, and he goes, hey, we've got to go. We're ministering to Guy and his wife. Can you guys want to ride with us? I said, sure. So we went with him. We go into the house, and right when he gets there, he goes, I just wanted to tell you one thing, brother. Her husband's a little weird. I go, well, boy, you should have told me that before. What do you mean a little weird? He goes, you'll see. I said, oh, thanks a lot. So we go in, and we're talking, and then him and his wife and Rosie go, they go off to go speak with his wife, and I'm out there stuck with the weird guy. And I'm walking, he goes, hey, brother, what are you doing for Y2K? I said, well, I don't know. He says, follow me. So we go into his one of his back rooms, and he opens up these closets, and he's got, I would say, hundreds of these little boxes. And each box carried he goes, you can take this out. It's a water filter. And you can go up to a lake it'll give you purified water. You can go up to a sewer pond and dip in, and it'll give you purified water. I said, boy, this guy's weird. I said, and he goes, I said, well, that's cool, man. He goes, how many do you want? I go, what? He goes, how many do you want? I go, well, oh, no, you're going to need them. You're going to need one for everyone in your family. How many people in your family? I said, bro, I'm good. I don't want to buy no water filters. I don't know what they cost. He was planning to sell them to me, but I told him right away, no, I'm not interested, bro. So then on the way out, Cesar goes, hey, what did he talk to you about? He talked to me about selling me some water filters for me and my whole family. And then Cesar asked me, he goes, hey, well, what are you doing for Y2K? I said, well, I'm not really doing anything that I know of. You know, my church pastor was buying generators. I heard a lot of people were stockpiling water. And do you guys remember that? Yeah. And a lot of that stuff going on. And Cesar said something to me. He says, well, you probably ought to pray about it, bro, because, you know, we never know. We might be out of stuff. So I went home and I was praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for Y2K? And he gave me scripture, and it was in Ecclesiastes. He says, this is what he said. He said, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it'll return to you. I go, what's that? What do you want me to do with that, God? Basically, he was telling me, you know what I want you to do? You just give. You give. Don't worry about Y2K. And that's what the scriptures are telling us. Don't worry about stuff. I mean, if God tells you, Robert, I want you to store 600 gallons of water in your little trailer, then if he tells you that, I would say go get 600 gallons of water and put it in your trailer. But I check for the rest of us, most of us, I would just say, you know what? It might get sticky out there. Can you say amen? We might lose our ability to buy things in grocery stores. Is that okay? But what do you think Jesus fed the 5,000? What do you think that was about? It's about his miraculous provision for his people when they need it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I don't care what happens, God's going to provide for me, and he's going to provide for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. There's no reason for fear. Fear is opposite of faith. Can you say amen to that? Get a hold of what God would be saying to you. You don't have to put a bunch of machine guns around your water bottle so that somebody's going to come and try to get my water bottle. So I got all these machine guns here. Come on, man. God says, I'm going to take care of you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, come on, man. If he can't take care of you, what kind of God is he? You're serving the wrong God. Because my God says, I will provide for you in every situation. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Some of you are waiting, God, for a provision from him. Just keep waiting. Just going after God. Just keep, God, you say you're going to provide it. I don't care what the lawyers say. You're going to provide it. I don't care what the bank says. God's going to provide my need. Hallelujah. He's looking for those. He says in one place in this, he goes, oh, you of little faith. Is that right? I don't want to be of little faith. But faith is only one size. Do you know that? How many of you know that faith only comes in one size? He says, he said, take a grain of mustard seed and break it and look at it. And that little tiny grain is all you need. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because faith is like spiritual plutonium. You either got it or you don't. If you got faith, then it's going to take you. God will provide for you because of the faith that it takes to believe that God's going to take care of you. That's all you need. He's going to clothe you. He's going to feed you. He's going to put you in the right place at the right time for his kingdom and for his glory. And you're going to rejoice. Can you say amen to that? Oh, yeah. Come on, man. So he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, those people that don't know God, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient, everybody say sufficient.
Sufficient,
sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Ooh, I love when Jesus talks. I love it. But where does he tell you to go? Where does he say go in the scripture? He says to go seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him first. How many say amen?
Amen.
I look at your neighbor and say, seek him first. Yeah, look at the other neighbor and say, seek him first. Yeah.
Seek him first.
We have to seek our God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And if the Bible says he promises this, if you seek me, you're going to
find me.
Amen. You will find me. Is that right?
Amen.
He says to ask and you shall be given.
See.
Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What do you need? What do you need, folks? What do you need, really? What do you need?
God.
Seek him and him only. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to preach myself out of a job. Can you say amen to that? Yeah?
You
don't need me. You seek him. He'll give you everything you need. He will lead you and guide you everywhere you need to go. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Take no thought for your life. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus. Okay, we tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Good answer. Amen. That boy was taught that since he was a young man, since he was little. Probably did his bar mitzvah. Is that what it's called? And said that, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. He's asking Jesus a good question. And how many of you know there's a lot of good answers? You can ask people if they're serving the Lord, and they give you a good answer. But are they really? Are they really serving God? Are they really going after God? I will tell you something, that God is looking at the answers that we give. He said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Oh, boy. God, I don't know why you're taking me down this, but I will tell you this, that God looks on your heart. And if you're not serving him, if you're saying you're serving him, you're placing yourself in a real bad position. Can you say amen to that? Because God likes to spank his kids. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, how many of you have been spanked by God? Anybody here been corrected? Yeah. I will tell you that God is good at correcting his children. He really is. God is not afraid to correct his children because God knows what it will do for you. Can you say amen to that? It will create the blessed fruit of righteousness within you when he corrects you, if you're correctable. You got to be correctable to get corrected. Can you say amen to that? Otherwise, who lives on? The prince of this world. Is that right? Yourself. Not a good guy. Not a good girl. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes we do things and we think that God is okay with it. But God is saying, no, it is time that the body of Christ grow up. Get rid of the baby diapers. Amen? Amen. Some Christians love them baby diapers. They want to keep doing what they've been doing. Can you say amen to that? Oh, God still loves me. Walking around with a big old diaper on. He still loves me. Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. God is saying it's time to get rid of the diaper. Make excuses for everything that we want to do that's contrary to God. And God says, man, you got a big diaper on, bro. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to pull that diaper down, and I'm going to give you what you need. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Come on, God. Hallelujah. I've been corrected by God. He took me to a very low place. I mean, very low. And you know, I don't have time to talk about it this morning, but I will tell you, he took me in a place that was so low, I didn't know how to get out. And then his spirit came to talk to me. And now it's one of the most powerful events in my life because he spoke to me in correction. I'll just give you a little bit of it. It was about me speaking what he gave me to speak. I turned him down. And when I did that, it went, I mean, from when I said no, it went down, down, down. I got to the bottom of the barrel. I said hi to everybody. And then I went below the barrel, said hi to everybody. And then I went to below that. And I was crying in my bed. I couldn't go to work. Rosie told me, ask God. And the Holy Spirit came and talked to me. He says, will you speak what I've given you to speak? And I learned by that one time that that's all I can speak. I can only say what he tells me to say. Can you say amen to that? it's important that we be faithful witnesses for the Lord. Is that right? Is that okay? Mm. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he said to him, thou hast answered right. Jesus answered, he said, yeah, you did a good answer, bro. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul. I mean, I know Jesus knew what he was saying. I mean, you got that thing memorized, and you answered right. Jesus tells him, you have answered right. This do, and you will live. And now it changes. Can you say amen? And he says, he willing to justify himself to Jesus, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Can you imagine that? And then Jesus answering said, listen, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, what did he do? Whoop-a-le. Oh, wow. Walked on the other side. And likewise, by chance, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. At least the Levite looked at him. These are supposed to be men of honor, men of God. A priest and a Levite. But then a certain Samaritan, an outcast, if you will, from in, as he journeyed, came and where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again, and I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus to him, go and do likewise. What a story, eh? I want to ask you something. Are you too busy? Are you too busy? Are you too busy? Because there's people in need all over the place. Can you say amen to that? Are you too busy? Where are you going that you're so busy? This Levite and this priest, they were pretty busy, I guess. Well, I got to be in the temple at 10 o'clock. Sorry, dude. See you laying there. I see you laying there, but I can't stay. I got to go. Here the Samaritan pulls over, a man, and who knows where he was going, what he was doing, what important thing that he was going from Samaria to Jerusalem. Who knows what that was? God knows. I know Jesus knew. Can I tell you this, that Jesus never told made up stories? Is that right? Apparently, Jesus knew about this happening because Jesus can't make up stories. Is that okay? Well, I thought God could do anything. Yeah, well, God can't lie. He will not lie. So he won't make up a story. He said, I'm going to tell you a story about this Levite and this thing really happened. And the Samaritan looked at him and had what? The Bible says compassion. You know what compassion? It's a heart that is, I would say, connected with God. And this heart of compassion goes, man, I got to help this guy. He wasn't too busy to help him. He poured in oil. He poured in wine. Can I tell you, in those days, those were expenses. Apparently, he had oil and wine with him, and he took him to a place to lodge him, and he paid for it, and he out of his own money. And he says, "And if you need more expense when he leaves, I'll come back and I'll pay you." Can I tell you, this is an honorable man. Even though the Levites and the Jews probably didn't give him 2 cents, give him the time of day. But he's an honorable man. He wasn't too busy. Where he was going could wait. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Do you know Listen, let me just say this to you. Do you know that being a child of God, that your steps are ordered? Do you know that? Here it is, Psalm 37, verse 33. Oh, the steps of a good man, right, are ordered by the Lord. Amen? And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he will not be cast down. You see, your steps are ordered by the Lord. And I was looking at this scripture, and the Lord said something to me that I didn't realize. I always thought that the steps are ordered by the Lord, and then it says he delights in his way. I was saying that God delights in our way. Can you say amen to that? But the Lord said, though, I mean, I sense the Lord speaking to my heart, said, I don't always delight in your way. Is that all right? Are you guys all right with that? Sometimes I do things that I shouldn't do. Don't tell anybody. I'm a pastor, okay? But I will tell you, when you look at this scripture, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. See, God is looking for you to delight in the way that he takes you. He wants you to delight in the way that he's bringing you. Is that okay? Can you understand that he wants you to take great delight in what he's doing? The other day I brought up the word pantote, P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Is anybody taking notes? I'll say it again, P-A-N-T-O-T-E. It is the word where the Bible says in Thessalonians, he says, rejoice evermore. The word evermore is pantote. Sounds better with a Mexican tongue. Is that right? A Spanish thing. Pantote. Sounds like some kind of bread. Pan, because we have pan dulce, and but we got this pantote. Anyway, wow, look, that's a turkey. Isn't that a turkey? Yeah. You should be preaching on me. What'd you call me? No, I said, pantote. Look at your neighbor, say pantote. Look at the other neighbors in Pantote. Does anybody remember what it meant? That word evermore means this. Anybody remember? Come on, you guys. I mean, that's why I said, Lord, they don't listen. They don't listen. Here's what Pantote means. It's the word evermore, but when you look it up, it means every when. He says, rejoice every when. What does that mean? All the time, right? Yeah. I said it last time, but I better not say it the way I did that. Every time when I wash a car, when I wash dishes, when I go to bed, when I get up, every when, rejoice. Amen? Amen. Because the fact is that your steps are ordered by the Lord. Is that okay? And he delights in his way. If you will begin to delight in the way that God has taken you, is taken. How many of you know that the journey validates the arrival? It is the journey God takes you through that validates who you are in him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You will begin to glow. Can you say amen? You're going to be like Moses, where people say, man, why are you so bright, bro? Because the glory of God is shining out of you, because you are rejoicing in the way that he's taken you. Is that cool? That's what he wants from us. Again, right in that Thessalonians, it says, give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God concerning us, concerning you. Can you say amen to that? Thank, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Delighting in the way of the Lord. Delighting in the journey he's bringing you through. Now, some of us have harder journeys than others. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. Some of us go through some stuff. But God is saying, hey, take delight in it. Hallelujah. Rejoice in it. Yes. Doesn't mean that he's saying just because you're rejoicing is going to make it go quicker and you're going to get out of it quicker or anything like that. He just said, just rejoice. Wake up today and rejoice in the Lord. Yes. When you get up, when you go to bed,
rejoice.
Be glad. Is that okay? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Now this is gonna be, this is a good scripture, and I'm gonna tell you when you read and you hear this, just go, whoa. Let's try it right now. Ready? Whoa. One more time, a little faster.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. Whoa. Here it is. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Who's he talking to? Those professing to be Christians. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everybody, whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in the see, there's something that God's looking for. He's looking for you to do the will of the Father. Whoo, hallelujah. It's time that we need to begin to say, God, what is your will? You're taking me through all this stuff. What do you want from me, God? Why is it so hard? Why is it so bad? Or why do I feel like everybody's having troubles but not me? Yeah. God wants us to do his will. Amen. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, what day? Hey, there's a day coming. What day? Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in their name, in your name? Uh-oh. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. Have we not cast out devils in your name? Ever look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. And in your name have done many wonderful works. Huh. Jesus says this, then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I will tell you that word working iniquity is directly connected to the prince of this world. And that prince is that old man that died when you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. He's your old man. The word of God says in Ephesians that to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Is that right? Second Thessalonians. Hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at that. Here's what he says. I love this scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, raise your hand.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. If you're sure about it, read both hands. Yeah. I'm in Christ. Jesus paid for me. He died for my sins. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Is that right?
Yes.
You're a creature. You're a new creation. Then it says, old things are passed away. What does passed away mean?
Dead.
Yeah. When somebody dies, what do we say, you generally? Oh, they passed away. Terry, I'm sorry, they passed away. Yeah, right? old things are passed away, and all things actually become what?
New.
Is that right? Yeah. Trouble is, we don't know what them new things are when we first got saved. We had to learn them from the Holy Ghost. We had the Holy Spirit had to teach us the things that we need. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
To build you up, to strengthen you. And you started out kind of rolling around like a little baby. And then you started walking. You're a little shaky, but God was building a foundation under you. And now you're a man or a woman of God, and you've been reading the Word of God. You've been taking in the Word of God. But God is saying to you, hey, it's time that we become, that my children become mature in the things of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I heard a lady say, somebody in the church was saying the other day that she was teaching the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Can I tell you, when you read those things, those are the things that the kingdom looks like. That's how the kingdom operates, by those scriptures. So go through those, because we are in this kingdom now. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. But I'm going to say this. Life shows itself after death. Do you know that?
Amen.
You passed away.
Yes.
Old things passed away. Everything becomes brand new. How many of you remember the day you gave your heart to the Lord? I remember when I was an alcoholic, a drunk, and I knew something happened. When I gave my heart to the Lord, For one thing, I felt this stuff like felt like honey rolling all over me, rolling down on the ground, and I just couldn't quit crying, I was hungover, and I just kept crying, And my supervisor had told me, go find a place to hide, because he saw my condition when I first got there, hungover. I was a crane operator, and he didn't want me running a crane. He said, you're not running any cranes today. As a matter of fact, you can't drive a pickup. Matter of fact, no forklift, anything that moves, don't move it. Yeah, I said, okay. I said, all right. He said, go find a place to hide. And I did. And I hid in a vault and just happened to be my future pastor in there, and he led me to the Lord. Wow. And when I came out, I had this stuff pouring on me, and I was weeping and crying, and all I could say was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it started all over again. I went down for lunch, and my supervisor looked at me and goes, dude, you look good. I need you on the crane up to get up there. And that's and so, but I will tell you, on the way home, I was an alcoholic. I couldn't pass this Circle K right up the road up here because I would stop there and buy 2 6-packs of beer every night on the way home. And if my friend was with me, he'd buy 2 6-packs. We'd get to the house. He'd drink 2 beers out of his, and he'd give me the rest. And I would try to drink those all that night. I just a drinker. And when God came into my life, I knew it was different because I come out of that mine and I beelined it to the house. And I went to tell my wife, who was very mad at me at the time for getting drunk. And I said, honey, I gave my heart to Jesus. She looked at me and said, shut up. I said, oh. But I'll tell you, the reality of it was, I mean, I knew that I was a new creature in Christ. Didn't know what had happened, but I knew something had changed. I know there's a lot of people that go to Alcoholics Anonymous and everything, but I will tell you, God delivered me that day. Bang. That was August 8th, 1979. Hadn't had anything to drink since then. God delivered me. And he will deliver anybody that will call upon him. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says this. I'm going to read verse 4:11 first and then go back to 10. I want you to see this. See, it says life shows itself after death. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Is that right? Okay, folks, it's simple. There's certain things you want to do, and you know they're contrary to God. You know that it probably isn't the right thing to do. Can I just say this to you? Just living your life without asking God, that's not the right thing to do. You need to seek first the kingdom of God, just like he said. And he says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Ooh, it sounds kind of weird, right? Always delivered unto death. Why? Because we're killing off that old man. It says that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. Can you say amen to that? God wants his life to be manifest in us. Is that okay? Verse 10 says it this way. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You see how God is... I will tell you that life shows itself after death, and you don't have to die in your flesh. Your flesh has to die within you, your desires. Can you say, anybody getting confused? You got to die, isn't it? You got to die. Check this out. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Being crucified with Christ means that you were hung on a cross and you died with him. Is that okay? Yes. Yet, he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see that? You died, and now you're alive in Christ. And that's a beautiful place to be. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are what?
Dead.
dead. Can I tell you today that God considers you, if you are born again, you're dead. You died. And you're alive in Christ. For you are dead, and your life is now hid with Christ in God. Where's your life? Where's your life? It's hid with Christ in God. Why is it hid? Because God wants you to seek Him, and He will begin to show you the things that you actually, that He has planned for you. Can you say amen to that? The things that, man, some of you might not even know this thing, but He has great plans for you. He's going to take you to places you never thought you'd be. He's going to cause things to happen for you that you never could ever happen. Can you say amen to that? Because He has things for you. Isaiah, this is the last scripture. Are you guys saying okay? Let me, I'm 15 minutes ahead.
All right.
Praise God. God, you're going to get out here before noon. Ah, that's nice. That's nice. Hey, not only you guys, hey, me too. I'm out of here before noon today. If I say it right, yeah, come on, man. But I just want to show you one more scripture because this scripture, when I first looked at it, the Holy Spirit said something to me. I said, it can't be, Lord, you really can't be saying this to me. Are you kidding me? Is this what you're saying? And He began to break this thing down. This is what's so wonderful about the Word of God. If the Word of God is in your heart, God will show you something, and then He'll pull something over here. And then He'll pull another little piece over here. And He'll pull you another little piece over here. And see, you don't have to have some man on your internet interpret your word, the Bible. Oh, that's a word for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't be going to the internet to interpret stuff. AI, who cares about it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Who cares about AI? You know what? We talked about AI in the men's retreat. It is authentic influence. That's what the Holy Ghost is. And we're appointed to be authentic influences, the AI. Of today. Can you say amen to that? You are appointed to influence. Can you say amen to that? God will grow and God will show Himself in you, that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ might be seen in you, so that you might influence the world around you. Can you say amen to that? We all have friends that don't believe in Jesus. We all have people that say, I don't believe in that. There's a bunch of malarkey. I've got people out there that say this is a cult. Okay. Say what you want, but I will tell you, God is real, and He speaks to anybody that will listen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Say what you want, but when He spoke to me in this scripture, this is our power verse today, and I brought it up because brought it up. It says, thy dead man shall live. What? Together with my dead body shall they arise. A lot of people think this is the rapture or this is when Jesus. No. Isaiah is prophesying that the dead will rise in Christ. Can you say amen to that? You've been resurrected by the Holy Spirit right now. God is showing you and teaching you things and reviving your inner man, if you will. Because you started out brand new. And He's adding new stuff. He's adding the kingdom to you every day, if you let Him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Together with my dead body shall they arise, is what He says. Then He says, awake and sing. Yeah. Awake and sing, you that dwell in where? The dust. Where did Jesus tell the apostles? He said, if you go into a house and they receive you, then stay at that house. But if they don't receive you, what do you tell them to do? Go back outside. Poof. Poof. And keep going. The dust He's talking about is the things that are contrary in this earth that are contrary to God. So He says, awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. Why? Because now He's showing you something different. You are no longer in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs. How many know every tree needs to be watered? How many ever, anybody grown a flower? Anybody ever grown a flower? No? How well does it do without water? Yeah. It might have been pretty when you planted it, but it ain't going to stay pretty. Is that right? That's the dew. So you see, God by His Spirit begins to water your spirit. By His Spirit, He waters you. And He calls, like it says, that herb, it will begin to grow. He waters and He waters and He begins to cause you to grow. By the word that He's given you, the Holy Spirit is a water of life. He'll bring you waters that will bring you to a place of knowing and understanding and talking to Him about who He is and what He wanted for you. I got 8 minutes left. I think I'll just take you to 12. What do you think? No. And the earth shall cast out the dead. What in the world is that? Folks, let me just say this to you. Whether you like it or not, you were a pile of mud. Jesus, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into it, and it became a living soul. And from then on, God designed and everyone in the womb of their mother. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, I got to say something about that. God designed His will in the womb of your mama. Is that okay? Yeah. And this might be for some people. I will just say this to you. I don't care. Let me just say it this way. I had a friend at work. He was gay. And we worked overtime one night, and the mine had showers, gang showers. And you know what gang showers are, right? Mm-hmm. There's like 12 spigot in a small room, and another small room with 12 spigots. And I worked overtime, our whole crew worked overtime, and we're going down the steps, and this friend of mine, well, he worked with me, and I could say he was a friend. He was a good worker, he really was, but he was gay. And we always kind of stayed kind of very far away from each other. But this particular night, see, he showered in the same shower room I did. For whatever reason, all the other guys were in that other section. So we're going down the steps, and he goes, "I'm showering with Henry today." And all my buddies, yeah. I tried to give him plenty of time to take a shower before I got in there, but no, he was waiting for me. And he goes, "Ooh, hi, Henry." Oh boy. And I took a shower, and he goes, "You don't care for me very much, do you?" is what he said to me. I said, "Look, bro," I said, "it's not that I don't care for you. I care about you. I pray about you, bro. I'll tell you the truth." "Oh, you pray for me?" "Yeah, I do." I said, "It's not who you are, it's who you're not." And he goes, "What do you mean by that?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I mean." I said, "Walk over to that mirror right there." They had these long mirrors in there. I said, "Walk over there. And if you see girl parts, you're a girl. But if you see boy parts, you're a boy." I don't know how much more I can explain that to you, but I will tell you one thing for sure. You are denying the will of God that created you and formed you and fashioned you. I don't care what you have to say. God created you that way and not in another way. So anything that you're thinking that's contrary to that, anything that's that is not correct. You are created by the will of God. Can you say amen to that? That, I mean, and I'll tell you what, try to tell people that today, nowadays, yeah, and they get all sorts of green and everything else on you. But I will tell you this, that there have been people that have gotten saved that were that way. Right. And they refuse today to go back to it. Can you say amen? Right. Do you know why? Because they cast out the dead out of themselves. See, you died. Everything that is not life, get it out of your life. Amen. Cast out the dead. Cast it out. Say, no, you're not here. You're not welcome here no more. When you move that way, now when, if, say, sickness tries to come on you, no, can't come in. The report I have is that Jesus died and that by his stripes I've been healed. Amen. Period. Don't care what you say. Maybe you found something, doc. Because, you know, hey, how many of you go to doctors? I'm not saying nothing about, I'm not trying to tell you don't go to doctors. I am telling you to stand on the word of God. The doctors might find something with you. But if you stand on God's word, you watch what God will do. Yes. Don't be persuaded in the other direction. Cast out the dead. Can you say amen? Will you stand? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Look at that. I got 3 minutes left. Hallelujah. Hey, I love you guys. Know this, that you have died and that God is resurrecting you, and life more abundant is in your life. The Bible says it this way, it's given unto men once to die and then the judgment. I'll tell you, you have died and the judgment is what God thinks about you, and that's what you need to hold on to. Can you say amen to that? That's what God is saying in this world today. The kingdom of God is in the earth. It's in you. Grab a hold of it and run hard. Can you say amen to that? Father, I thank you for your people, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch them. Father, this word that you have placed upon my heart, Lord, Lord, help them with it. Help them to see what it is you're saying to them personally, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit goes out and brings in that which you desire, that which you have purchase, that which you have planned for. Father, I thank you for that. Touch each heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Appreciate y'all. Amen. Come on, praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.